Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Galler, and again, thank you to our wonderful sponsors this evening. Rabbi Galler and I did not coordinate our topics, nor the food, which you saw. But it works out perfectly. Rabbi Galler focused on the path ahead, and tonight I'd like to focus on looking back. To go back to 2005, the Major League Baseball world was shook by the world's worst-kept secret. Now, Jose Canseco put out a book called Juiced in February of 2005. In his book, Juiced, he writes about Major League Baseball players using steroids in the 90s. I know, terrible shocker. People whose head sizes had grown and had produced unmatched, unparalleled offensive production. Turns out they were using steroids. So in March of that year, Congress had a Senate subcommittee sit down with baseball's biggest sluggers to get to the bottom of this. These are the same people who deal with, you know, war and healthcare. They had to figure out, what's the story with steroids? What's going to be of our children going forward using drugs? Are they going to be enticed by all this grandeur and praise and accolades for our athletes? So they called Jose Canseco to the Senate, to Capitol Hill. And along with him, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, and Mark McGuire. Now, under oath, Jose Canseco again confessed for, you know, a couple million reasons. And he confessed on behalf of himself and his teammates and his coaches and the whole league, everyone's using steroids. Rafael Palmeiro took a different approach. He categorically denied ever having used steroids. He pointed his finger at Congress and he said, "Let me begin by saying, I have never used steroids, period. Convincing, decisive, absolutely positive." As were his test results a few months later. In August of that year, when he tested positive for steroids, absolutely positive for steroids. And the headline said, Palmeiro guilty of steroids, period. Sammy Sosa had a different approach. Yes, he was born in the Dominican, but he had spoken English the previous decade to reporters and ended up speaking English for the decade to follow. But during that interview, he didn't understand a word of English. His English was so bad that even when his interpreter explained the question in Spanish, he couldn't understand the question. He refused to answer any question on grounds. He took not the fifth, he took the 27th of, I don't know what you're talking about. That was Sammy Sosa's approach. Then there was Mark McGuire. He did not admit, like his bash bro, Jose Canseco. He didn't lie and deny, like Rafael Palmeiro. And he couldn't pretend he didn't speak English. He was a pale redhead from L.A. Mark McGuire took a different approach. In his opening statement, he said, I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive going forward. And sure enough, for every question that the congressman asked him, he said, I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive going forward. But you got to give it to Congress. They pushed hard and they said, Mr. McGuire, during your 1998 record-breaking season of a single-season home run record, were you taking steroids? I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive going forward. Mr. McGuire, was it only you or also your teammates? I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive going forward. A couple of times when they asked him a question, he first conferred with counsel and then said, I'm not here to talk about the past. Why'd they have to confer for? They already made that plan when they came in. We're still going to keep to the plan? Yeah, okay. I'm not here to talk about the past. And he came out looking really bad. And I always thought that was such a funny tactic. I wish I could have used that in school. I was entering high school around that time. If I had been asked on like a history test, Yaakov, what were the 5 contributing factors to World War I? I'm sorry. I'm not here to talk about the past. I want to be positive. No war is going forward, but I'm not here to talk about the past. Could you imagine if we came to Hashem that way, for Yom Narayim? God looks at our rap sheet and he says, you're going to explain all these terrible things you did? I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to have a good year going forward. The derech, the year. I'm not here to talk about the past. Would that work? Can we do that? Didn't work out too well for Mr. McGuire. The Gemara says in source number 1 in Bava Kama, Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatren hu, yutru chayav, a person who claims God doesn't care about the past. God lets things slide. He's a vatren. His essence is not really caring what we've already done. Let's just be better going forward. Let's be positive from now on. Like Mara says, that person is forfeiting his life. He is missing the boat. The Gemara Yuma in source number 2 points out that we say in Midos HaRachamim, Hashem is nakeh, lo yinakeh. Which one is it? Is he nakeh? Is he erased in the past? Or is he lo yinakeh? And the Gemara explains where it's underlined menakeh, who l'shavav? L'shavin, the person who does tshuva, Hashem erases the past. Ve'ena menakeh l'sha'eno shavin. But God does not forgive for those who are not going to be focused on the past. It's beautiful, Chassidus Torah, in source number 3, or Shmuel Kami Nicholsberg, brother of the Hafla, a line that we say in Rosh Hashanah, we refer to Hashem as ki zocher kol anishkachos ata humeilam. Hashem is the one who remembers all the forgotten things. And the Rebbe explained, Kadosh Baruch Hu dafka remembers the forgotten things. If we come to Hashem with mitzvos in hand and say, I remember all the good things I've done, Hashem says, I'm going to forget that. But if you come to Hashem and you say, I've forgotten all the good things I've done. I have nothing. Dalim v'reikim, we have nothing. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers those forgotten things. And for Averus as well, a person who comes to Hashem and says, I'm not going to talk about the past. I don't want to focus on all the negative. Kadosh Baruch Hu is zocher as kol anishkachos. He'll remember the things that we're trying to forget. But if we have the Averus in mind, if we're cognizant of the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forget those. So we can't just ignore it. We have to do something about it. And the Rambam famously, in source number 4, where he lists the different components of Teshuvah, a very important ingredient is V'chein Yisnachim Al She'avar. It is not enough to clap Al Chet. It is not enough to do Vidui. It is not enough to plan better for the future. A person needs to think about the past. A person needs to address the things that happened before. Let bygones be bygones. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu is menacha only for Shavin. Only people who do tshuva, who focus on the past, who talk about the past, they are going to be the ones who HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to forgive. Now that sounds a little bit sad. Wouldn't it be nice to have Mr. McGuire's not here to talk about the past? We actually have something more beautiful than that, more magical and more powerful. And that is the idea of tshuva, which somehow talks about the past and fixes the past. A remarkable, magical thing. That tshuva is able to somehow fix the past. Not just to overcome it, but to somehow end up better because of it. The Gemara Neuma in source 5 and source 6 talks about different categories of tshuva. Sometimes the psukim imply when a person does tshuva, they're okay going forward. And sometimes the psukim imply when a person does tshuva, they're better off as if they never sinned, and maybe they're better off than a person who never sinned. And the Gemara differentiates between a person who does tshuva meyira and a person who does tshuva me'ava. A person who does tshuva me'ira, says in source number 5, that person is good going forward. A person who does tshuva me'ava is as if they never sinned altogether. And more than that, a famous Gemara in source number 6, Amar Reish Lakish, gedola tshuva shezidonos nasos lo kishkagos. When a person does tshuva, all of their willful, intentional sins become like they were by accident. But ask the Gemara, Eini v'Amar Reish Lakish, the same Reish Lakish said, Gedola teshuva shezidonos nasos lo kizuchuyos. Not just like accidental sins, like mitzvos. Your averos become like mitzvos. And the Gemara explains, Lokasha kan me'ava kan me'ira. When a person does tshuva me'ira, it's true, all their past averos, even if they were intentional and they were willful, they take on the status of shkagos. When a person does tshuva me'ava, the averos actually turn into mitzvos. The more averos you have, you do tshuva, the more mitzvahs you have now. Works out in the person's favor. And the idea of tshuva meira, that it turns a person's intentional sins into unintentional sins, is explained by Rav Dessler in source number 7 very beautifully. When we talk about shogeg, a person who sins b'shogeg, it's not a person who trips down the stairs and bumps into the light switch and turns on Shabbos. That's misasik. That's not even an avera at all. A person who's b'shogeg did the avera and tried to do the avera and did the avera, they just weren't in their full state of mind. They weren't cognizant today of Shabbos. They didn't know this was us around Shabbos. They weren't fully aware of all the facts. Why would tshuva meira turn a person's intentional sins as if they're shkagos? So Rav Dessler writes, where it's underlined, in source number 7, Kevan sheha'adam mis'ala v'zoche lahakara yosa berura. When a person does tshuva meira, they're aware of Hashem. He's there. I see him more. I have this reverence for him. He was watching the whole time. How embarrassing. How humiliating. Az hare kalape dargaso hayose rama, compared to the high level he's on now, hayumasav shel esmo, the previous acts, bivchina shogig, kishadayim lo yada beberer, kazeh es hekef tovasa. It's almost that compared to the knowledge I have now. If only I knew then what I know now that God was watching, or how seriously God takes this. I never would have done that. It's almost like I was shogeg. At the time it was Zadon. At the time it was Mezid. But now at Yitshuva Meira, I see Hashem, I feel His presence, I feel the awe, I feel the reverence, I feel that embarrassment. He was watching, He was there. If I knew then what I knew now, I never would have done it. It's almost like it's reframed as unintentional given the great knowledge a person has now. And that's wonderful. We talk about the past, we turn our past mistakes into less of mistakes, but still mistakes. What's less easy to understand is how can a person walk out better because they sinned and did tshuva? As Shakespeare would say, better to have sinned and tshuvah than to never have sinned at all. He didn't really say that, but that's what it means. A person works out better because of that. Chazal Maseches Brachos in source number 8 have an expression, a famous expression. Makom shebalei teshuvah omdin, tzadikim gemurim einam omdin. It's actually machokas in the Gemara, but the Rambam made this famous because he paskins like this, that a baal teshuvah ends up better than a tzadik who never sinned. How can that be? You want to tell me, we talk about the past. We have this great gift of tshuva, we fix the past. But how could a person end up better because they sinned and did tshuva me'ava and end up with extra mitzvahs because of it? It's a wild idea. Gemara mentions the phrase bali tshuva. Colloquially, we use the word bali tshuva to refer to someone who didn't grow up religious, didn't have an education, and then was given a chance later in life to become religious. Really, bali tshuva means anybody who's working on themselves, who wants to improve going forward. I remember when I was learning in Shalvin, my first year, the mashgiach for the Shana Bet, Rabbi Ezra Shapiro, he came in Yom Kippur wearing all white, and the only white kippah he could find was one of these very pointy, very stiff kippot. So he came in wearing that kippah, and his son, who was maybe 7 or 8, was very embarrassed. He said, Abba, you got to take that off. I said, why? He said, Abba, please, take that off. He said, why? He said, Abba, you look like a baal tshuva. He said, perfect, it's Yom Kippur. Who else would I want to look like? I'm a baal tshuva. We're all baal tshuva. We're all looking to be better. Yeah, I'm a baal tshuva. But the Marsha raises the question that we asked before. Commenting on the Gemara earlier, which said a person's zadonas becomes zechuyos when you do tshuva me'ava, the Marsha says, hu l'chora davar tamua. That's really hard to understand. Denimtza chote nischar, a sinner benefits and ends out on top, higher than a tzaddik gomor, because they sinned. How is that possible? Gives us the impression we want to talk about the past. We gain by talking about the past. It makes things better for us. But I want to share 3 brief ideas. How could this be? What are the mechanics? We already explained Tshuva Meira makes a person now at a level where earlier, had they known what they know now, they wouldn't have done this. It's like shogeg. Very nice. How do we explain how a person doing Teshuva Me'ava ends up benefiting? How could it be that the Averos become mitzvahs? The first approach is the Ramchal. In Mesilas Yesharim, he asks this question. He writes where it's underlined on top in source number 10, Kinei be'emes eich yisakin ha'adam es asher ives v'hacheit kvar nasa. How can a person do tshuva? What's done is done. Hareisha ratzach ha'adam es chaveiro. The person, Rachman al-Atzlan, kills someone. Hareisha naf, person has an affair. Maybe a mamzer comes into the world. How do you fix that? Eich yuchal v'sakin ha'davar hazeh. How do you talk about the past? How do you fix the past? How do you benefit from fixing the past? Can a person erase the effects of their terrible act from the world? And he writes that the question is better than the answer. The answer is, it's hard to understand. He writes, Amnam hatshuva tinasein l'chotim b'chesed gamor. It's a gift from Hashem. It's a wonderful system that we can't fully understand. We can't rationally explain why it should be so that tshuva at all exists and why each person should benefit from it. Even though the effects of what I've done are still in the world, that person is no longer alive because of what I did. That mamzer is here because of what I did. The miracle of tshuva is it allows the person to change the past. Didn't happen. But it did. No, it didn't happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu is rewriting history. Amazing. The last line where he writes, Sha'avon sar mamish mihamatzias. The sin disappears. When a person talks about the past, faces the facts, and a person feels pain, those are the ingredients that produce this magical, otherworldly result. That it works. And how does it work? Not sure. How do the Averos become mitzvos? Not sure about that either. But it's a chesed from Hashem. Rav Chaim Friedlander, Mashgiach Kampanovich, he quotes from the Gemara Pesachim in source number 11, that there are seven things Chazal say created before the world. One of those things is tshuva. What does it mean created before the world? Before there was time, how was there time to have things before the world? Rav Chaim Friedlander suggests in source number 12, what Chazal are getting at is that tshuva is not part of this world. It's pre-world. We have logic and we have gravity and we have laws of nature and science and things that flow A to B, make a lot of sense. And there's tshuva before all that. Tshuva is illogical. Not illogical, but illogical. It supersedes, it completely disappears from the realm of logic. And perhaps that this is the approach number one. One takeaway to take from this approach is, if we're going to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a sense of ava, a sense of feeling bad, and a sense of rooting a relationship and wanting to be better, we have to recognize he's doing us a tremendous chesed. We're not entitled. We don't walk in there demanding to be forgiven because it makes no sense. How can we talk about the past and make ourselves better because of it? First approach is to recognize the humility. It's a gift from Hashem. It's a chesed gomer. And we can't just do tshuva. We have to daven to do tshuva. Every day we daven to do tshuva. I mean, daven to do tshuva. Just do tshuva. What kind of nonsense is that? You daven to do tshuva? Just do tshuva. Hakol b'nei shamayim, chutz mi yirei shamayim, and ava shamayim. So do it yourself. Hashvei avinu l'sar ha'asecha. Do it yourself. What are you asking Hashem for? My favorite siman in Rosh Hashanah night, take the pomegranate, which has exactly 614 seeds. I always count. And we say to Hashem, Shehir bo zechuyo seinu. Isn't it up to us? Yiratzon, give us more zechuyos. Hey, buddy, why don't you go do more mitzvahs and you'll have more zechuyos? So some say, you know what we're davening for? Help us to tshuva me'ava and I'll have more zechuyos. All the past avers are going to become zechuyos. Help me. It's not easy. And I'm not entitled. It makes no sense. I got to daven for it. I got to ask for it because it's a chesed gamur, as the Ramchal said. What's our first takeaway for tonight? To approach Hashem beseechingly, asking Him to help us, to give us this great gift of tshuva me'ava, to fix the past. A second approach, maybe a little more down to earth, post-creation. How could it be a person who makes mistakes ends up better because of them? I find this all the time. These people who fall and get back up again, they're stronger as a result. I mentioned about a year ago, my son's bris, at the Gemara Masechet Shabbos in source number 13, lists people who never sinned. Tzaddikim in our history, who never committed an avir in their entire lives. Ready? Here they are. Binyamin ben Yaakov, that's my son's name, Binyamin ben Yaakov, the Amram Avi Moshe, Moshe's father Amram, the Yishai Avi David, the Kilav ben David, Yaakov's son Binyamin, Moshe's father Amram, David's father Yishai, and David's son Kilav. Anybody ever hear of Kilav before? At the bris last year? Maybe, yeah. That counts. Four people. These are the four people who never sinned. Tosfos is so bothered that Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Ki Adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov lo yachata. There is no person, Koheles says, who never sinned. And how about these four? No one ever not sinned? These four? And Tosfos answer, Berob b'nei Adam kamar. Koheles means most people don't make it through life without sin, but there are a couple exceptions, namely exactly four. But there's a different approach. Who are these people? And Mechilas Kavod, these are wonderful tzaddikim. We're all at the dust of the feet of these great tzaddikim. These are not our greatest leaders of all time. We don't invoke the merit of Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Kilav ben David. We don't invoke these names. Not only are these not our greatest people, but each of these people had someone very close to them who we do invoke all the time. Binyamin's father, Yaakov Avinu, and davening every single morning, and afternoon, and evening. Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram's son. David HaMelech is Tehillim, the father of Kilav and the son of Yishai. The Gemara almost tells us how obscure these people are by telling us who their fathers or sons were, as if we don't know who these people are. And it relates them to people who were not perfect. Yaakov was not perfect, Moshe was not perfect, David was not perfect. And those are the ones who we invoke all the time. So who's really greater? Again, hard for us to judge. But who are we invoking? Who are the tzaddikim? And perhaps to answer Tosos' implied question, Bali Musar points out, Ki ein adam tzaddik ba'aretz. You can't be a real tzaddik in this world if you're not going to sin. You could hide yourself in the room and lock yourself up and never leave the house, never talk to people, so you can't do Lashon Hara. Never work in business, so you can't cheat people. If that's the case, you could be a tzaddik. But you're not making a difference. You're not rising to the greatest heights that a person can rise to. But the Yaakov Avinus, who go out there to the loved ones and make mistakes, great. They're a paragon of emes, of tzidkus, of righteousness. The Moshe Rabbeinus, who make mistakes and teach us lessons. David HaMelech, what it means to do tshuva for Batsheva and other mistakes in his life. Those are the paragons, the paradigms, what it means to be a tzaddik, not ba'aretz, a person who disappears into the world. You want to be ba'aretz? You want to be living a real life? The mistakes that we make us better people. We grow as a result. And those mistakes in the past are what allow us to become better people. Those are zechuyos. Those things that happen to us make us better. This is similar to what the Orchos Tzadikim writes in Source 15 to explain our question. He writes, a person should not feel bad, should not feel lost and despondent. How can I do tshuva? Where will it lead? How will I ever get better? He writes, a person who does tshuva can get back to the same level as one who never sinned. V'lo od, on the second line, Ella shescharo harbe, a person who does tshuva has tremendous reward. Sharei tam tamachet, they stumbled, they sinned, they failed, they suffered. Upirish mimenu v'kivesh yitzro, they overcame it. And they got stronger, and they got better. And that's why he quotes Hazal say, Makom shebali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yichol ma'amud bo. Kolomar, ma'alasim, of people who did tshuva, any bal tshuva, any person who's working to become better, who addresses the past and becomes better because of it, gedolam mima'alasim shel elu shelo chatu me'olam. Those who hide away and never venture and take risks and try, epnei sheheim kof shemes yitzram yosem mehem. They have to overcome so much. The great strength that comes from adversity, that comes from building weights and falling down and getting back up, that makes a person stronger. All those past mistakes, when you do tshuva me'av and you say, I want to get better, I want to learn from my mistakes, I want to use those as stepping stones to becoming closer to Hashem, that allows a person to grow. The story goes that Thomas Edison, apparently, had tried 2,000 different iterations of the incandescent light bulb before he came up with the one that actually worked. That's what the story that they tell. Reportedly, a reporter once went over to him and asked him, how did you have the tenacity and the resilience to continue working and working after failing 2,000 times? Supposedly he said back, I didn't fail. Not once. I learned 2,000 ways how not to make a light bulb. He looked at them as stepping stones. Not things to overcome. That was the lesson. That's how he learned. Those were all zechuyos. Those made him a better person, a better inventor, and a very successful person. He couldn't have gotten there without it. He needed those Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz. He needed the opportunity for a person to try and fail. Success doesn't look like this. It looks like this. That's the path. That's how a person goes. So perhaps our second takeaway for tonight, as a person addresses the past and looks forward, the chance for a person to realize, how can I learn from my mistakes? Where are the pitfalls? With whom do I tend to say Lashon Hara with? What situations teach me the great pain I caused someone else, how can I use that as a learning experience to become a better person? And in that sense, the past becomes a zechus. First approach is it's magical, and that's a great chesed from Hashem. The second aspect is, we learn from our mistakes, those mistakes become a zechus for us. A similar idea, our third and final idea for tonight, Rav Dessler has in source number 16, a beautiful idea, that not only when a person makes mistakes and tries to fix them, are they becoming better, and are they becoming more talented and more sophisticated and learning how to avoid the same pitfalls, but they're actually becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuva Me'ira means, Hashem was watching, I'm so uncomfortable, it's so awkward, if only I'd realized then how uncomfortable, that's shogeg. I didn't know. Tshuva Me'ava is a different level. Tshuva Me'ava is, I'm so humbled, I'm so embarrassed. How could I do that to someone that I love? I've ruined the relationship. I feel so distant in this relationship. When I was davening well, I felt so connected. When I was learning well and making brachos, I was attached to Hashem the whole day. And over the past year, I've fallen down. I've made mistakes, some by accident, some on purpose. I feel that distance. I feel that coldness. I feel that terrible disconnect from Hashem. And the Tshuva Me'ava says, I want to come back to that. And I want to use that feeling of distance. I want to use those past mistakes, those breaches in our relationship, to come close to Hashem. Dessler writes so beautifully.
where it's underlined. V'chol shemamik yoser b'charata u'makir yoser ginus ha'aver, a person who spends the time focusing on the past, feeling bad, realizing just how far they've sunk. G'dola yoser hakaras hatov shelo klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more they appreciate the wonderful opportunity to come back close to Hashem. When we talk ahavaso davak yoser b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he feels extra close now, realizing what it's like without him. How could it be a Baal Tshuva rises to a level even higher than a tzaddik who never sinned? Kind of combining the first and second approaches together. The great chesed of Hashem, and what I've learned from my mistakes, says Rav Dessler so beautifully. It's the averos that brought a person closer to Hashem. And in that sense, they're mitzvahs. Because what are mitzvahs? They're not coins in a piggy bank. Mitzvahs are ways to come close to Hashem. And maybe in an ideal world, we'd only have mitzvahs. But in this world, ba'aretz, in a real life, a person who takes their averos and says, me'ava, I want to come back, I miss Hashem in that relationship, those are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are anything bringing you closer to Hashem. So it could be tefillin, or it could be about tshuva for not putting on tefillin. How could it be? We disconnected. Lashon Hara, I spoke, maybe a more coarse person, less refined, less able to connect to Hashem, and how could I daven after speaking Lashon Hara? I feel disconnected. So I'm better now because of it. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It turns your past actions into mitzvahs because you're closer to Hashem, a.k.a. a mitzvah. Mashal you can give, sometimes you imagine, this happens sometimes, a couple who's dating, and it doesn't work out. They break up. And they get back together sometime later. And it works out. And they get married. What happened? Same people. A few months later, a year later, 2 years later. What happened? First time around, no good. Second time around, perfect shidduch. I've spoken to the friends of mine who've gone through that experience, who've dated the same person multiple times. And they said, the first time around, it was nice. Took it for granted. Didn't feel right. I went somewhere else and realized, oh no, that's the person for me. On this distance, and we come back, we're closer than ever. My wife told me a beautiful mashal. If you have two people who are holding either end of a long rope, they have a relationship. Their connection is based on this rope. And the rope is severed. Their connection is torn and ripped apart. And they decide they want to repair the relationship. They take the two broken ends, and they tie it back together. The rope is now shorter. They are now closer to each other. The breach, the rip, the tear, which looked like a terrible, terrible thing of disconnect, allows for the possibility of coming back closer, more in love, more of a sense of I've missed you, and I appreciate now what I didn't appreciate before. The people, the places, the events in our lives we only appreciate after we lose them. El is a time to say, I need a dodi v'dodi li. I've missed this relationship. El doesn't stand for I'm going to zap you and punish you. El stands for I love you. I miss you. Where have you been? No, no. Where have I been? Where have I been? All the things that take me farther away from Hashem, my technology addiction, my work addiction, whatever it is that keeps me away from Hashem, and the values I hold so dear, if that pushes me to now in Elul, feel closer to Hashem, and tie the knot and come closer, that's a mitzvah. The past actions become mitzvahs that bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are our takeaways for tonight. When a person does tshuva, they literally become a new person. So the Rambam says, I'm no longer that person. I'm somehow reformed. And as far as the results that the Ramchal is so bothered by, how could it be I did all these terrible things, the person's still no longer living, the Mamzer is still here. Look at the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 20, where he writes that a person shouldn't take revenge because the other person isn't responsible for the results. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and if someone passes away, he's in charge. And if a mamzer is born, he's in charge. We're not responsible for the results that come into the world. We're only responsible for our role in being the actor, the one who carries it out. So don't take revenge. The person didn't do the result. They have to do tshuva themselves, but don't focus on that. On the other side, we can focus on it, not despair. Regardless of what results came into the world, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. That's his business. All I have to do is say, I'm not the person who did that anymore. The results being the same, that's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's issue to work out. But I am not the person who did those things. I am the person who didn't go farther from Hashem. I'm the person who came closer to Hashem. Our takeaways for tonight, number one, We have to address the past. Try to forget the past or say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a veteran. It's not going to work out well for us. Tshuva Meira allows a person to say, I didn't know then. What I know now is as if it was all b'shogeg. But our main topic for tonight, looking back at the past, is Tshuva Me'ava, where we relabel sins as mitzvos. Number one, the Ramchal said, as a supernatural chesed from Hashem, we have to daven, we have to ask Him for help to do this process. Number two, we learn from our mistakes. They allow us to learn new ways not to make a light bulb. We learn and we're better off because of it. And number three, our relationship with Hashem is warmer, is closer, is tighter, is more loving because of it. These are the ways a person can become a new person going forward, looking forward to that year and that derech. It's by starting by looking at the past. It wasn't until 5 years after that congressional hearing that Mark McGwire re-entered the baseball world. He came back as a hitting coach for a lot of different teams. What mattered is 5 years later, he finally confessed. He and Bob Costas sat down, and he confessed. He cried, and he talked about the past. And he finally faced the facts. He faced the music. He also claimed he could have hit 70 home runs without steroids. Okay, maybe. But he finally faced the facts, and that allowed his journey back into the game. Our goal is not to run from the past, nor should we want to. We have the amazing chesed from Hashem that allows us to learn from our mistakes and retie the knot, coming ever closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we approach Elul Ani L'Dodi B'Dodi Li.